This on my heart for quite some time, and probably a year or two, not to really teach it, but again, I listened to a lot of sermons, and I'd heard two different sermons. I might have sent one of them sermons to some of y'all, but it's like you sit down at a table at Shatley Springs and you eat, and when the bowl gets empty, they keep bringing you some more. It's kind of the same way with a chapter in the Bible. You know, you eat on it a little while and God just keeps giving you more and more out of it. But these things, it's been a blessing to me and applying it to my life. Over the last couple of weeks here, I've had a couple of conversations, one with both my sons, two different times, and I got to really thinking, studying on it this week, and the Lord just put it on my heart to share it with y'all. That's, you know, as disciples and discipleship, we find bread, we're supposed to share it. And I want to share what the Lord shared with me. If y'all will, turn over to Genesis 3. Very, very familiar story. But there's several aspects I'd never seen in the fall of man. But let's go ahead and we'll just start out reading there. Grab my glasses. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's as far as I want to read there in Genesis 3. One thing I want you to think about tonight is the fall. This is the fall of man. This is where it all began, the sin that indwells in us started right here and there.
Bless him, Lord.
One thing I want you to think about, the serpent. We hear the word serpent, we think of a snake. But this creepy, crawly thing that we think of today was after the curse. If you go back up there to verse 1, it said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he was beautiful. So it's not this creepy, crawly thing we see today. Doing a little research on that, as far as its beauty, it was as beautiful or second in beauty to mankind when he made man. But when you come all the way down there to 14, then you see where the serpent was made to crawl on his belly and eat of the dust of the ground. So think about his beauty and his lure. its convincing tongue, and its contradiction to God. So Satan found a weakness in the woman, and the weakness was that she desired what she was told she could not have. Ain't that the same way we are? Amen. We all want what we can't have. One thing I want you to look at, firstly, is the three temptations that throughout life, even in the Garden of Eden, in our life today, that Satan uses to bring us to sin. Let's go over to John 2, 16, 17. And I'm going to flip to a couple of different places here. Hang on, we lost the mic. I'm sorry, 1 John 2. My bad. Yeah. Unless I wrote it wrong. First John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's those three things. Now I want you to think about, right here in the garden, what did Eve see? She saw that the fruit was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. She saw it was pleasant to the eye. Lust of the eye. She saw that it would make her wise as God. This is what the serpent told her. There's the pride of life. Same three things that tempt us today. And every sin. When Satan tempted Jesus. Let's go there. Luke 4, 3 through 12. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. Lust of the flesh. But he answered and said, It was written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, at lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again that thou shalt not tempt the Lord. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. There's the lust of the eye. And saith unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So you see the pride of life, and the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. So there's three things there Satan used to try to tempt Jesus. It didn't work. Well, one thing I want you to think about tonight, and this is the whole point of this, this is kind of why I wanted to talk to the teenagers, is our fight. Our fight, everyday fight, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk with God. Of course, with the Holy Trinity, you have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, on the other side of the realm, it's not like the Trinity, but there is three parts to evil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. How easily do we blame the world for our problems? How easily do we turn and say, well, the devil made me do it? When so many times our fight's right inside here. We're called, as Paul said, this is a war. This is a fight. That's why he tells us, Ephesians 6, to put on the whole armor of God. Stand fast in the faith. That was an order, a commandment to a Roman soldier. This ain't going to be easy. Talking with both my sons in this about this in the last couple of weeks, is I kind of brought these things out, and I talked to them, and I said, you know, it's so easy to play the blame game. And I want y'all to go back up to Genesis 3 there, because that's what Adam and Eve both did. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to get this out just the way the Lord have it. Let's go back to verse 8 there. A couple of things. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. How crazy is that? An all-seeing and all-knowing God, and they go hide behind a tree. Like he wasn't going to see them. But I want you to think about something right here. You also see the grace and the mercy that God had. Next verse. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him. Now, God knew what they'd done. He seen what happened. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He knew exactly where he was, where they were. He hid behind a tree. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And this is the part that you know the Lord's got a sense of humor. He says, who told you he was naked? So you see a little bit of mercy and grace. It's like God's confronting them, but he's doing it in a merciful manner. He knows. I mean, all he owed Adam and Eve when they took that bite was exactly what he told them he'd do. Death and hell. That's all we're owed today. Amen. Apart from the grace and the mercy of God, that's all we're owed today. But you go on down there and it says, and he said, I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Here's the blame game. Adam said, the woman, you know, when you put me to sleep and I was asleep and you took that rib out of me and you made this here other being over here and, you know, she gave me of the tree and I eat it. So he starts blaming Eve. And the Lord God said unto the woman, so he turns to Eve, what is that that thou hast done? The woman said, well, is that serpent's fault? Is the snake's fault? He caused me to do it. Ain't that what we do? The world and everything in the world, apart from the grace of God, is evil. We're surrounded on every side. It's controlled by Satan. It's under his rule. And our flesh is a servant to sin, apart from the grace of God. Let's go to John 8, 42 through 47 real quick. And this is the regular John, the big John. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Well, that's where we are, apart from God. That's where we are when we're living in sin. That's what we're surrounded by in the world. That is the flesh. Go back over here to Genesis 3. I'm sorry we're chasing rabbits. But if I say something, I want scripture that backs it up. I don't want to tell you something that'd be wrong. I want you to see that the scripture verifies it. This is the word of God. It's a living word. It's alive. And it speaks to us. But talking about the blame game, we got kids. And we've had children go a different way. How many times have we said, well, they got in with the wrong crowd? I'm guilty.
Bless the Lord.
How many times we look at somebody else's kid? Well, they got bad parents. They didn't have no raising.
Come on, brother.
Guilty. Well, they just had a hard life. They can't help themselves. Guilty.
Bless him, Lord.
Well, they married the wrong person. You know, if they never got with that person and started dating that person, they probably would never turned out to be like that. Or they bad circumstances. They just fell on hard times. In every part of sin, we look at people and we can take these five or six things and we can blame that. But the point I want to make sure of here is Adam and Eve. I want you to think about this. Adam and Eve had the perfect parent, God. They was in the perfect environment, the Garden of Eden, paradise. And they had the perfect helpmate, the perfect spouse. And guess what? They still sinned. Why? Because what was on the inside? That flesh. The world, even though it's corrupt, is beautiful. So is the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And that's what we see, that lust of the eye. The devil knows our weakness. He's an instigator. He's using these things that surround us to entice us. That's just as he did Adam and Eve. But the battle is within. This flesh that we have. So how do we battle this flesh? We got to recognize that that's where our fight is and quit blaming everything else. These couple instances we had this weekend, I won't go into details. But that's one thing I want to talk about to teenagers. Y'all are at a vulnerable point in your lives. You're surrounded by the evil of this world. You're enticed by the devil that rules this world.
Come on, brother.
Yeah.
But not just the youngins, us adults too.
Yeah.
You know, you go to school, you want to be accepted. You want to fit in. I'm pretty sure every one of us here that ever done alcohol or drugs, more times than not, it's because we wanted to fit in.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to be accepted. Satan knows that. If you're a Christian, though, something's inside. There's something inside. You know, you think about Romans 7. Paul talks about the fight within, the war within. It's a fight. It's not easy. It's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. And I couldn't do it apart from the grace of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me.
Amen.
But one thing I want you to think about, teenagers and adults, is leaning on the Lord. That's how you fight this thing. Turn over to Romans 7. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the latter. Skip on down to verse 23 and 24. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's the fight we're fighting every day as a Christian. We're carrying around this dead flesh, but we've got life inside of us. I can tell you this, you know, as far as the teenagers, you don't need to worry about anybody. You think you have friends, most of the time they're not your friends. If they ain't in the Lord, they're probably not your friends. Should you witness and be a light? Yes, by all means. But when you walk up in dirty conversation or joking or bullying, putting somebody else down, either stand up for the one that's been put down or walk away from it. It's hard to do. Like I said, because you strive so hard to be accepted. That's the things of this world, and that's Satan that entices us. But like I said, the fight's still within. It's still fighting this flesh. You know, when you come to salvation, when you come to that change in your heart, there's got to be a desire to do something different, to be something different. And one assurance, I hear a lot, you know, my niece, I talked with her a while back about she's wanting assurance of her salvation. One thing you can be rest assured of in your salvation is that struggle. It's a struggle. It's a fight. If you're not struggling, it's time to do some repenting. Because you're still enjoying the things of the world. There's got to be that change. When you're in sin, you love sin. But when you're born again, God delivers you from that love of sin. There's a change in your heart. It's just like a pig. He likes slop. You can set a steak over here and slop over here. He's going to eat that slop. But when that nature's changed, just like when our nature's changed, you don't want that anymore. And so it is with us. And a fish, it's like a fish. He don't know he's wet till you take him out of the water. We've been took out of the water. We've seen that newness of life that God's put in us. He's changed that desire of a heart, and now it's a struggle and a fight to hang on. Because he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Praise God for a way of escape. Recognizing the fight that we have inside of us, and what do? We turn to God. He gives us a way out, a way to get away from it, whether it's the world, whether it's Satan. We can't get out of this flesh till we go home and be with the Lord. So that fight's going to continue, but you can always escape it, and he gives you a way. I found this the other night, and I sent it to Rylan over some of the things we'd talked about, but it's out of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, y'all ain't got to turn over there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Think about that. Fearing God is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For there shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There's those enticing words, that enticing conversation. The things the devil uses to draw us in and cause us to sin. Go on down to 15 and 16. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. It's everything I got written down, but y'all, this business is a huge burden in my heart. Being Preacher Bill, breakfast a few weeks ago, and was talking about how just unconcerned, you know, lost and unconcerned. Preacher Bill joked about it, but it's true. You know, what if this is the last time I get to stand here and pour my heart out to you? And the Lord put this on my heart, and I took it to my grave with me. It's possible. But it breaks my heart to see people no more concerned than what. And you look at the evidence of the evil that's around us. Young folks, I see you struggling. Every one of you. Adults, I see us struggling too. You know why? Because I'm struggling. You go to work, you start a new job, or you've been in that same job for a while, you still look for that acceptance, that love from us other people. You know, that's the desire of our heart. But no one's going to love us like God is. Amen. Bible said, God hath made us accepted in him. I believe that's in Corinthians. So the only one we need to be accepted by is him. I pray for you. If there's ever anything that I can do to help. You know, y'all got people. It's the biggest blessing to me. Now, we didn't have youth group and stuff like that in our other church because we were so small a church. Y'all young folks, y'all got friends here in the church. Those should be your only friends that matter. Witness, love, and testify outside the church. But when you come in those times of trouble and hardship, right here's where you need to be. Right here. Picking up that phone. Calling each other. Calling TJ. Call Preacher Bill. Butch. Anybody. Corey. Larry. All of us. That's what we're here for, is to lift each other up. To help each other. To get to that narrow gate. Because few there be that find it. And few there be that enter in. Few. Many is the way of destruction. That wide gate and that wide way. And that's what we're here for, is to help each other, lift each other up. But God knows if there's ever anything, anybody ever needs from me, please let me know. I'd do anything to help anybody. And I love y'all, church. I love you. That's it.